So we're up to sign number three in John's gospel today. Sign number one, water into wine at Cana. Sign number two, healing of the royal official's son. Sign number three, healing of the paralytic at the pool in Bethesda. What do you think it would be like to be an invalid? What would it be like to have someone have to get you out of bed and brush your teeth and wipe your behind, bathe you, feed you? I think that that feeling of being totally helpless and dependent on others would be enough to send most of us into deep depression. I imagine it would for me anyway. And I know how many of you have struggled through periods of health issues for yourself or a spouse or other family member that must make those feelings of dependency up close and personal for you. And imagine what it would have been like before wheelchairs and rehab and braces and hospitals and care facilities and CNAs and all of those different things. And that was the case with the man in our story today, paralyzed with none of the benefits that we in the modern world have. He's lying beside a pool with other sick people. And they were drawn to this pool by the superstitious tale that an angel would occasionally come and stir up the water in the pool. And only on that rare occasion when the angel came and stirred up the water, and I don't know if it bubbled or there was a whirlpool, whatever it was, only on that rare occasion, the first one to get in, according to the superstition, first one into the water would be healed. Now that view of a God who plays games with people, or a God that treats us on a first-come, first-served basis, that's kind of foreign to us. And yet, in some ways, we each have our own way of believing that to be true, don't we? But this man couldn't get into the pool, even if the myth was true. He can't do anything on his own. All he can do is lay there. He's totally at the mercy of other people. He doesn't eat unless someone else brings him food. He doesn't drink unless someone else brings him water. He doesn't move unless someone else carries him. And he's been this way for 38 years. He watches other people walk and go about with their normal lives, and he probably resents God blessing them and God cursing him. But his condition is about to change here in sign number three. Jesus sees the man lying there, and he talks to him. And he learns that this man has been like this for a long time. And he turns to him and asks the most important question of his life. Do you want to be made well? Well, at first, the question seems just plain nuts. I mean, why wouldn't he want to be healed, right? Why would he be lying next to this pool with its rumors of angels and healing if he didn't want to get well? But what's interesting in the story is that the man never answers Jesus' question. Look at it in your Bible. He only blames others for not helping him. He complains that no one will put him in the pool, and someone else always beats him to the number one spot. He's just full of discouragement, and you can feel the self-pity just kind of oozing out of him. But you know, there are a lot of reasons why he might not want to get well. I mean, he's learned through his lifetime to be dependent on other people, and other people make his life work. He's learned the art of begging, and if he was healed, he would have to change his life. He'd have to be responsible for his life. He could no longer blame other people for his life. He could no longer get sympathy. And there are many people who live by being dependent on other people. I think the dirty little truth is we all like to do that at some points in our lives, be dependent on someone else. So Jesus asked the man to do something, and his healing is dependent on whether he does what Jesus asks him. He says to the man, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Well, even if the man were not paralyzed, laying on a mat for 38 years, He would have been completely atrophied, and it would have been impossible for him to get up and walk. But the man feels that life and strength surging through his body, and he takes Jesus at his word, and he picks up his mat, and he walks. What we do know is that he's cured. Jesus doesn't correct his bad theology. He doesn't take him to task about his superstitious talk of angels and stirred up water. He just says to the man, get up and walk. The amazing part of the story is not that the man is healed. No, the amazing part of the story is the lack of faith on the part of this man. He never asks to be healed. And furthermore, there doesn't seem to be any appreciation when he is healed. Heck, he doesn't even know who healed him. Now, in other accounts of healing in the New Testament, people express their thanks to Jesus. Some fall at his feet in worship. Not a word from this man. No word of gratitude. No worship. Nothing. He just picks up his mat and walks away. When Jesus healed a leper, the Bible says in Luke, when the leper saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice and threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And Luke adds, and he was a Samaritan. When a blind man was healed, it says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. And how would you react if you were that paralyzed, well, now formerly paralyzed man? Wouldn't you be shouting, praise the Lord, or something like that? I sure would. And that's what I would have expected from the man in this story. But that's not what we read. There's no joy. There's no praise for God. There's no expression of thanks. Nothing. No recognition of a miracle. No thanks for legs make usable or a functional life. I mean, you could almost hear the crickets chirp. So much for gratitude. Well, to make matters worse, the healing takes place on a Sabbath. Everything in John's gospel seems to take place on the Sabbath, if you notice. But it's a Sabbath. And since it's against Jewish law to carry anything on the Sabbath, and the man was carrying his mat, you can imagine, rolled up under his arm, he gets nailed by the religious leaders for breaking the Sabbath. And the man's reaction is even more astounding. He doesn't praise God for being healed, but he puts the blame on Jesus. He says, well, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. Then they want to know who the man was. And Scripture says the man who was healed had no idea who it was because Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. Now, what's surprising is that the man has made no attempt to follow Jesus or to find out who he is. Wouldn't your reaction be to hunt the guy down who healed you? Wouldn't you want to know who could do something so wonderful for you? After 38 years of paralysis, wouldn't you want to thank him? But it's Jesus who goes looking for him later, if you continue reading the story, and not the other way around. And Jesus finds him, and he says to him, see here, you're well again. Stop sinning, or something worse will happen to you. See, Jesus is concerned not only about his physical condition, but his spiritual condition as well. He makes it a point to find him and to speak to him about his spiritual need. And there's still no word of gratitude. Nothing. No gratitude for how Jesus has helped him. But wait, just when you think the former paralyzed man can't get any more despicable, doesn't he just go and do it? The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. The man who made no attempt to find Jesus now actively goes to find the Pharisees and tell on him. He turns him into the authorities, knowing what'll happen. And John writes, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. It almost makes you wonder why Jesus would heal someone like this. There were so many sick people, I can't imagine how many, laying around the pool of Bethesda with various disabilities and diseases. Why didn't he heal any of them? Certainly there would have been many other sick people there, grateful for the chance for Jesus to heal them. Surely Jesus could have found someone besides this paralyzed man who was more worthy of being saved. But Jesus chooses to heal him, knowing what kind of person he is. He heals him in spite of the fact that he'll get in trouble for doing it on the Sabbath. You know what? This is the story of us all, isn't it? We're the paralyzed ones, dead in our trespasses and sins, paralyzed and in bondage by our own lack of gratitude for God's grace and mercy. Jesus has come to forgive and heal even us. And what's our reaction? Are we truly grateful? Do we seek Jesus out and follow him? Do we fall at his feet and worship? Do we live with grateful hearts? All of us have already been healed. All of us have been affected by sin. All of us were helpless and lost until Jesus sought us out. Undeserving. And yet Jesus has come with unexpected and undeserved mercy and grace and favor, forgiving and healing us. The question is whether we'll take responsibility for our lives and live for Christ in gratefulness, in faithfulness, in joy. I'll tell you what I'm like. I get impatient waiting in a line at a fast food restaurant. Don't you? While people in other parts of the world have nothing to eat, I get aggravated with my computer while other people live on less in 1 year than the cost of my computer. I get upset when I have to make another home repair, either because it's going to cost me or because I hate replacing toilet bowl guts. And there are other people who have no home. I see red when I look at the price of gas, yet other people have to walk everywhere they go carrying things on their back. I complain when a spot in my grass is turning brown or those godforsaken gophers or moles or whatever the heck they are or popping up mounds in my yard, while other people have endured years of famine. I take what I have for granted, while other people live in a cardboard box. I gripe about my aches and pains while others are seriously ill, and I get frustrated with slow drivers, don't you? And others can't even walk. One of the traditional prayers of confession says, "Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you and our neighbor. We have taken great benefit with little thanks, and we've been more ready to insist upon our rights than to see to the needs of others. Have mercy and forgive us for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord." Andrew Carnegie, who is a multi-uber gazillionaire, left $1 million to one of his relatives, who in return actually cursed Carnegie because he had left $365 million to public charities and had cut him off with just $1 million. But is that guy really any different from each one of us who take what we can from God with little thanks? The good news in this sign, the good news is that Jesus comes to us with mercy and with grace, And he doesn't see us as we are, but for what we could be. He blesses us and is gracious towards us. When we recognize his goodness, and even when we don't recognize his goodness. Psalm 103 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. Now that's something to be thankful for. Sign number three, the healing of the paralyzed man by the pool, that I like to call the sign of gratitude, because the last thing it is grateful. Yet we each have so many things in our lives to be grateful for. Thanks be to God. Amen.